Numbers chapter 14, looking at another portrait. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can spend time in your word. We pray for your blessing now upon this time. We pray that your spirit would speak to each heart this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Back in the mid-1800s, Cincinnati, Ohio, had an unusual nickname. It was known as Porkopolis. That was the nickname they gave it because it had become the nation's leading site for processing pigs and for processing pork. In 1840, it had 48 packing plants, and it processed over 120,000 pigs every year. Right? I bet it smelled like bacon. I don't know. Maybe that's just wishful thinking. But so they were doing all this processing, right, and taking all this meat from pigs and shipping it all over the nation. But it had this big byproduct, which was lard, right? All this lard that came off these pigs. So there was an English immigrant named Thomas Emery, who had settled in the Ohio River Valley. He wasn't too far from Cincinnati. And he had tried a couple things in his life. He had tried raising silkworms, and that didn't pan out very well. All his silkworms died. He tried real estate, but he ended up buying more than he was able to sell, and that's not a good way for real estate to go long term. But then he saw something. He saw all this lard that was being produced in Cincinnati, and he saw something. And he started this company that was known as Thomas Emery's Lard Oil Company, and he started making candles. He gathered all of this byproduct, and he started making what were called dripless candles because of how they burned. That company is still in existence today. Now it's called Emery Oleochemicals, which is the term for like a chemical that is made from natural oils and fats. It's one of the largest companies of its kind in the United States. They've expanded on what they did, but it was this man who looked at all that lard and he saw something that others didn't see. They looked at it as a byproduct, as a waste product, but he looked at that and saw something that he could use, and he turned it into this massive business. And I think that's what visionary leaders are, they do, right? They look at things and they see them differently than other people. They can look at the same thing as someone else, but see it in a different way or see something different in that. And tonight I want to look at Caleb specifically as a portrait of a visionary leader or as a visionary. And specifically Caleb, I know Joshua is there as well. Caleb is, though, the one recorded as speaking in Numbers chapter 13. And just to kind of narrow it down to one, we're going to pick Caleb this evening. Go back to Numbers chapter 13. So we read chapter 14, kind of the reaction of Israel to the spies as they go into the land. But I wanted to read this account, the account of the spies, and as they come back and talk to Israel. Israel's come out of Egypt, and God has brought them right to the promised land. This is the first time they're near the promised land. And in Numbers 13, verse 17, Moses sent them, the spies that they had chosen from the tribes, he sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south, in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So all the spies, right, they went in, they saw the same land. They saw the same fruit of the land. They ate the same grapes and the pomegranates and the figs and all of those things. They experienced all the same thing. They saw the same land. They saw the same cities. They saw the same enemies, all of the same people. But they had very different reactions to that. Because while they saw the same thing, 10 of the spies saw something different. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, saw something entirely different than the rest. And we look in verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Different things. It's amazing how they saw the same thing, and yet they saw entirely different things. There was Caleb who said, We can go do it. Let's go take the land. And the rest of them went, I don't know what you saw, but we saw a land we cannot take. We saw something we cannot do. They saw the same thing, but yet they saw different things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 tells us that while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Being a visionary, God has a plan for us. When God looks at us, he sees who we are, he sees where we're at, but he also sees where he wants us to be, who he wants us to become, where he wants us to be. He sees all of those things. That for us needs to be a shared vision. That we have the same vision for ourselves that God has for us. That we want the same thing God wants for us. We have a shared vision with God. We have to get on board with God's plan. How many of you remember in the back of our auditorium the verse that we used to have? It was on the board that was back there, right? What was it? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Right? And so you'd see that every time you walked out. Where there is no vision, where we don't know what God wants for us, when there is no understanding of what God has planned for us, the people perish. There will not be a following of the plan of God, of the will of God, if we don't know what that is for us. And what I want to see tonight is three reasons why this whole situation looked completely different to Caleb than it did to the rest of the spies. Why what he saw was so different from what the rest of them saw. Three reasons this evening. Here's the first one. In chapter 13, in verse 26, it looked different to Caleb because he had listened to what was actually said. Caleb listened to what was said. What's interesting is in chapter 13, in verse 26, in verse 27, when they're talking about the land, they use a specific phrase. We came unto the land, they said in verse 27 of chapter 13, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. They use that phrase. Caleb uses that again in chapter 14 and verse 7 and 8 when he's talking to them when they're terrified. He's trying to convince them to go in and take the land. He tells them in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. It's really kind of a unique phrase, right? Flowing with milk and honey. But it's talking about like the fruitfulness of the land. A land that flowed with milk meant that it was able to sustain cattle and all the animals. They would have plenty of grass that they would need for that, plenty of pasture. A land that flowed with milk and honey meant that there were bees there, like all the pollination and all the flowers. Just a prosperous land, a land that was blessed. And it was a land that you would want to live there, right? If your living depended on like animals and farming, then you would want a land that flowed with milk and honey. Caleb is using this phrase, but he's using it for a reason when he talks to them in Numbers chapter 14. Go back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord has heard the groaning of Israel in Egypt, and he is now talking with Moses at the burning bush. He's going to call Moses to lead them out of Egypt to the promised land. And in Exodus 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, "I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Look down in verse 15. God said, "Moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Look in chapter 13 and verse 5. Chapter 13 and verse 5. The Lord again is talking to Moses, and he tells him, "It shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month." It was a phrase that was tied to the promise of God. This is how God talked about the land he was going to bring them into. He was telling them over and over, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Caleb heard that. Caleb had listened to what God said about this land and about that promise. And so when Caleb looked at the land, he saw a land flowing with milk and honey because that's what God had said it would be, a wonderful land for them to live in. And the question tonight is, are we really listening to what God is trying to tell us? Listening is a skill, right? It's a learned skill, I think. I remember there were times when we would be driving, and this was back in the day, and Eric would be giving me directions. We used to have, I think a TomTom or something, one of those old GPS, right? And so, she would be telling me directions, and she would do it where she would say, "Okay, in 2 miles, you're going to turn left on such and such a street." And every single time I would do this, it would be a half mile down the road, and I'd go, "Which way am I turning?" Another half mile would be like, "What was the name of the street again?" And she'd be like, "I told you this multiple times. You're turning left on this street." But she would tell me, and I would instantly forget. It would instantly leave my mind what she had just said. It's a skill to listen and then actually comprehend it and retain what was said. And I wonder if we're really listening to what God is trying to tell us in the Word of God. Because all of the promises that God gives us and the instructions that God gives us, they're promises of possibility. When God tells us to do something, he is also promising that it's possible because he enables us, right? With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So, for example, Ephesians 4 and verse 32, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." What God is saying is, it is possible for us to forgive. It's an instruction, right? You are supposed to forgive. But also it's God saying, you can do this, right? It can be a possibility, it can be a reality in your life that you can forgive the people that have done something against you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Right? The Lord's talking about patience and gentleness there. That's a promise of possibility, that we can be patient. We can be long-suffering with people. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God is saying it is possible for both the words that we say and the thoughts that we think to be pleasing in God's sight. Right? We read all of Scripture and we have to take it as this is what God is saying actually can happen. Right? It can be a reality. It is possible through God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If we don't listen to what God is trying to say and really comprehend it, then everything is going to seem like out of reach. It's going to seem like an unrealistic goal. I've always thought it'd be neat for me to be able to do a split, for whatever reason. Well, I'll be honest, it's a pretty unrealistic goal. I'm very inflexible, right? So you look at it and go, yeah, it'd be nice, but it's never going to happen, right? We can look at Scripture and be like, oh boy, that'd be nice, but like, I know who I am and the way I work and just my nature and all of those things. And we can look at it and say, boy, that'd be nice, but I don't think it's possible. We're not really listening to what God is telling us. Because God is telling us, yeah, it is. Like this is possible for you, right? Whatever Scripture you choose or whatever is on your heart, God is trying to show you that it's not something that it would be nice, but hey, let's be honest, we're never going to get there. God is saying, yes, you can, right? This is what I'm trying to do in you, that with God, all things truly are possible. If we're not listening, we're just going to be resigned to staying where we're at. In relationships, in our family, in our personal life, in all of these different ways, we'll just kind of be stuck there because we feel like this is as far as we can go. But if that's our mindset, we're really not listening to what God is trying to say. God will be speaking to us of a land flowing with milk and honey that he's told us is possible. And we'll be like the rest of the spies where we're like, I don't think we can get there. I don't think that's for us. Caleb was listening. He had heard what God had said all the way along. And so when he looked at the promised land, he looked at it as this is what God has said can happen. He heard what God was saying. So everything looked different to him because he was listening to what was really said. Here's the second reason everything looked different to him. It looked different because Caleb understood what he was supposed to do. He understood what to do. So in chapter 14, of Numbers, chapter 14, and verse 7, as the people say, we can't do it, let's go back to Egypt, Joshua and Caleb stand up before them, and verse 7, they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Caleb knew what he wanted to do because he had listened, but he also knew then what to do. And he tells the people this in verse 8. He said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. He said, if the Lord delight in us. He understood what it took to get to where they wanted to go. I remember when we were in Newfoundland in the fall, we went to the O'Brien's, Emily O'Brien's parents' house that they have up there, the Pease's, and they had a little puzzle there that was a jar with plastic pickles in it. And you would take all the pickles out and they would fit back in the jar a certain way, right? And so it was this puzzle. We had to, you know, put them in their proper order and then they would all fit. But if you didn't get them in the proper way or configuration, they wouldn't fit in the jar. And so we had a kind of a fun time trying to do this. And Courtney, the O'Brien's daughter, was watching us do it for a while. And she knew the solution. And so I'd be like, is this the first piece? And she would go, no. I was going, is that the first piece? She was like, no. And eventually she would show us how to do it, how everything fit together, like the solution and how it would work. I knew what I was trying to do, but I didn't know how to get there. The other day I watched a video on, have you ever been to Cracker Barrel and you get like the triangle puzzle with the things that you jump? So it was a guy who was showing the solution, how to do it. I was like, I'm going to memorize this, and the next time I'm at Cracker Barrel, I'm going to impress everyone. I completely forgot. I don't know how to do it anymore. I knew for about 5 minutes how to solve that puzzle, but it was the wrong 5 minutes. But it's like you understand like where you're wanting to get to, but you go, I don't know what to do to get to that place. That's where the spies were, right? The rest of the spies. They're like, we're not able to get there. But Caleb goes, I know where we're going, and I know how to do that. I know how to get there. And he says, here's what it is. It's if the Lord delight in us. Look back in chapter 13 and verse 30. So after they go into the land and they come back and they tell everybody about it, both of these two groups speak. Caleb speaks first. And in verse 30, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We know what both of these people meant, right? We know what Caleb means when he says we're well able to go and take this land. He was talking about what God could do through them. We know what the men were saying in verse 31 when they say, we be not able to go up against the people. They weren't thinking about God. They were thinking entirely about them and their own strength, that they weren't able to do that. But it comes down to chapter 14 and verse 8 where Caleb says, listen, the Lord's going to give us this land. It's going to be the work of God to do this. But his plan was, in verse 8, really a simple plan. It says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. His plan was, well, we just have to be pleasing to the Lord so that the Lord delights in us. And if God is pleased with us, he'll bring us into the land. He'll give us what we want. He'll get us where we want to go if we just do what pleases the Lord. And God delights in those who delight in him. God is pleased with those who please God. We know in Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. And it's kind of like what Caleb says in Psalm 37 and verse 4. They're like the same thing, but two different perspectives. Caleb is saying from the Lord's perspective, if the Lord delights in us, then he'll bring us into the land. And Psalm 37 is from our perspective, where if we delight in the Lord, then he'll give us the desires of our heart. Right? Both those end up in the same place. But one is looking at it from if God delights in us, the other is if we delight in God. Right? But sometimes, I think without realizing it, we misunderstand the goal. We misunderstand where it is that we're trying to get to. It'd be like if I went to the doctor with some health issues, and I said, listen, doctor, these things are really bothering me, and they're making my life kind of unbearable to live with these. And so the doctor says, listen, I want you to be healthy so that you're able to enjoy life. So here's the steps we're going to take. We're going to make these changes so that you're then able to go and enjoy life. So I come home and I talk to Erica and she says, what do the doctors say? And I said, doc says he wants me to enjoy life, and so I need to do whatever I can to enjoy life. You go, wait a minute, that's not exactly what the doctor said, right? Yes, he said he wanted you to enjoy life, but there was also with that a like path to get you to that place, and it feels like you kind of missed that. Like you went right to enjoy life, but didn't go. The doctor said, okay, he wants you to make healthy choices that are going to then lead to that. The doctor had a goal. That goal, though, was clarified by the path that was going in that direction. If we don't understand the path, we haven't really understood the goal. If we are entirely about Psalm 37, where it says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, but we don't clarify the way to that. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give us the desires of thine heart. If we don't understand the path, then we've probably gotten the goal all messed up, and we're confused about that. If we delight in him, he will delight in us. He will bring us into the land, and he will give it to us. I think what's really interesting is in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 3 and 4, because they had been looking at the promised land and they had been heading toward that promised land saying, this is what we want, right? We want to get to the land that we want to live in. But when they start, all of a sudden it looks like they can't. Now in verse 3 and in verse 4, they're making this plan And they say in the end of verse 3, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. When you don't delight in the Lord, you find yourself desiring things you don't really want. If you're not delighting in God, you're going to start heading for somewhere where you don't want to be. They didn't want to be in Egypt. For goodness sakes, this is crazy. Like they were like, oh, yeah, we really want to go back to Egypt. No, they didn't. They didn't want to be back in Egypt, yet they had gotten away from delighting in the Lord and so focused on other things that all of a sudden the goal of being where we want to be had changed for them because the path had changed. They had stopped thinking about how God was going to do it and God was going to bring them into this land. And all of a sudden it became, oh, we can't do that because of who we are and we're not strong enough. And when the path became about them doing things, all of a sudden the destination became misunderstood. And it was about them being where they wanted to be, but that changed when the path changed. By not understanding the path to where we want to be, you're going to be chasing a goal that you don't actually want. The plan is delight yourself in the Lord so that God is delighted in you. And if the Lord delight in you, he will bring you to where he wants you to be, and that will be where you want to be. Our prayer every day should be, Lord, may everything I do be pleasing to you. May everything I do, right? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. If I only pray something like, Lord, bless my day with no thought as to the path that leads to that blessing, then I'm going to find myself heading down a wrong path because I'll be so focused on what blessing feels like to me or what being blessed seems like to me. And then I'll be heading that way in my own way. It has to be, if we pray, Lord, bless my day, we have to do it with a thought, Lord, may I be pleasing to you so that you are then able to bless me. There has to be the path and the understanding of where we're headed. And Caleb had this understanding of what needed to be done, and the rest of the spies didn't. The other 10 spies, with the exception of Joshua, didn't understand how to get there. And they showed that in what they said. And then they showed that the people of Israel also didn't understand because all of a sudden they're all about heading to Egypt and wanting to go there. Caleb understood that God was able. And if they just delighted in the Lord and the Lord would delight in them, God would take care of all of that. Caleb saw something different than the rest of them because he understood what needed to be done. He understood that they just needed to please the Lord and God would take care of everything. But here's the third reason. Third reason everything looked different was because Caleb realized when to act. So back in chapter 13, as they talk about the land and explain all of that, in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb looked at him and said, let's go do it right now. Let's drop everything and go. We're headed to the promised land. He's like, what are we waiting for, right? Why are we just sitting around here? I've seen it. I've tasted it. Let's go get it, right? Let us go up once and possess it. I mean, he looked at him and go, what are we waiting around for? Have you ever done the thing where you're sitting at a red light and you just zone out and all of a sudden you hear the car behind you beep and you go, oh, it's green. Like it's been a green light. Who knows how long it's been green for? Probably not very long in Connecticut, but you know, you're sitting there at what you think is a red light when it's actually a green light and you just haven't realized that. And you go, oh, why am I sitting here? Right? Why am I not going? It's very clearly a green light. The Word of God to us and the promises of the Word of God are a green light for us to go and obey, right? Just go and do what God has told us to do. What Caleb saw was a green light when everybody else saw a red light. The other 10 spies looked at that land and went, oh, we cannot do this, right? And they saw the walled cities and the giants and all of those things. And for them, it was this massive red light saying, stop, don't go any further. Caleb looked at it and he said, this is a green light from the Lord. He's brought us here. It's exactly what he said it would be. He told us it would be the land of all these people, but a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, why are we waiting around? Right? The sooner we go, the sooner we'll get the land. The sooner you walk to the freezer, the sooner you get ice cream. Right? The sooner you leave work, the sooner you get home. The sooner you put the kids to bed, the sooner you get peace and quiet. Right? The sooner you obey the Lord, the sooner He gives you all the things that He's been wanting to give. The sooner we obey, and the sooner we delight in the Lord, the sooner He gives us the desires of our heart. What are we waiting around for? I wonder if, I was thinking about Lot, right, in Sodom. And the whole thing where he was there, and then he, like, the angels came and they had to, like, basically drag them out of the city. I wonder later if Lot wished he had just hadn't waited, right? If he had just, like, looked around and seen the wickedness and said, you know, we should leave before there was any threat of fire and brimstone. If he had just not waited and left earlier. I wonder if Thomas wished he had believed a little sooner, you know, instead of waiting to see the Lord and the handprints or the nail prints and all of those things. If you had just believed earlier, like instead of waiting for so long, I wonder what we're waiting for tonight. Right? What's holding us back? Why we're sitting there at a green light and not going forward? I think sometimes in my own life, the reason I don't start a project is I'm not entirely sure of like how to start, like what the first step is. And if I'm not like clear on that, then I'll kind of find reasons to put it off. I mean, the first step for us is just reading our Bible and praying. Right, that's the most basic step that moves us forward. But I think then beyond that, if you go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 23. The next step, I think, is though to get like specific with God about what He wants for you. And I think this prayer of David is really helpful. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So verse 24, he has two requests. One is for the Lord to point out any wicked way in me. And if the way forward, like we said, is for God to delight in us and for us to be pleasing to the Lord, we see how important this is. For us to go before the Lord and say, Lord, show me if there's any wicked way in me. But then his second part is, lead me in the way everlasting, that God would lead you into the way that is pleasing to Him. And what a valuable prayer this is for us in like progressing forward and making forward progress in walking with the Lord, where we're asking God to point out things that don't please Him. We're asking God to help us to please Him in all things. That's where we find Caleb's mindset of just going forward, of him looking at the rest of the people and go, what are we standing around for? Why are we waiting when there's a clear path forward? God has brought us to this point. We know that this is what God wants for us. We know how to get there. We just delight in the Lord. We walk with the Lord. He'll do it. And he looked around and went, why are we still standing here? Let us go at once and possess this land. Caleb saw something that the rest of the people didn't see. The other 10 spies, the rest of Israel, they couldn't see the same thing that Caleb saw, even though they had heard the same things and the other 10 spies had experienced the same. And I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 19. So Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he's talking about kind of the whole history of the story that we read and how the spies went and saw the land. And he talks about in verse 26, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. He talks about their complaining. He says in verse 29, I told you, don't be afraid of them. Verse 30, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." This is where how it turned out for Caleb. And it took a while because of the unbelief of others, and he wandered in the wilderness with the rest. But God brought Caleb into the land that he had seen. What Caleb had seen as possible when everybody else said it was impossible, God gave that to him. He delighted in the Lord, and the Lord did exactly what he had promised. He said, "If you delight in me, then I will bring you into the land and I'll give it to you. And while all the rest of them perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief, because they would not follow God, Caleb got to go into that land, he got to see it, and he got to experience it." And I think about all the children of Israel, the rest of them, that were so close to the promised land. They had come all this way out of Egypt, gotten so close to the promised land, but instead of going in, they spent the rest of their life wandering aimlessly in the wilderness without ever making it to where God wanted them to be. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my life wandering aimlessly, never getting to the place God wants me to be. I want to be always on my way, like going somewhere with the Lord. And when we read in Scripture all the promises of what God can do in us, how he can change us, what he can make us to be, we can do all of that, though, without really catching on to what God is trying to say, really understanding and listening to what God is trying to tell us. We can spend a lot of time racing down the wrong path, chasing a desire that we don't actually want, that if we ever get there, we'll go, "Yeah, I didn't really want this," or "this isn't enough." Chasing something that we think we want, but we really don't. Or we can just spend a lot of time waiting at a green light, not realizing that it's time for us to actually move and take action. In Mark chapter 9, there was a man, you don't have to turn there, there was a man that came to Jesus Christ and he was seeking a miracle. And this is what Jesus Christ told him. He said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What Moses said to the children of Israel and to Caleb was, "You didn't believe, and so you didn't get to go into the promised land." But he looked at Caleb and he said, "You have wholly followed the Lord simply by faith, and you will get to go where you want to be. God will give you all that he has promised." Visionaries see something that others don't. And it's time for us to see, I think both in ourselves and in our families, to see what God sees. And it's time to see what God is able to do. To hear that from the Word of God, what God can do in us, and then understand the path forward is just by pleasing God. Just do what pleases God. Live a life pleasing to God. And then know what he can do, know the path, and then just go for it. That's what we need to do. Seeing what is there that maybe other people don't, and following the example of Caleb. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we're thankful tonight for all that you've promised to us and how you work in us and the things that you desire to do. We pray that you would give us eyes that are able to see what you can do in us. Lord, give us that vision for ourselves, the vision that you have for us. Lord, may we please you in all the things that we do. We pray that you would show us by your Holy Spirit through the Word of God the things that we need to change, the things that need to be different. Lord, help us not to just sit here and aimlessly and never really do anything for you, never actually walk with you. We pray that you'd help us to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.